My name is Ian Levenstein. You're listening to Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, your home for men's and women's Brooklyn College basketball.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein. Hey
there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here at BrooklynCollegeRadio.org, 1090 AM, and of course, podcasting at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. This is episode 13, lucky 13 of the Geek Speak podcast, coming to you here from Brooklyn College. And we are winding down here at the semester here at Brooklyn College. So, a little programming update for you. There will be Geek Speaks the next 2 weeks. Even though I will have finals, I will be geek speaking, although both of them are going to be pre-recorded. I'm going to be coming in on Wednesday of next week and recording episode 14, which will just be a regular episode of Geek Speak, and then I'll be following that up with a showcase spotlight episode of Geek Speak, the big 1-5, which will be focusing upon retro gaming. As I announced last week, huge episode of Geek Speak that we're probably going to go into most of the history of gaming. So who knows how long it's going to last. It might be an hour and a half, might be 2 hours. Whatever we feel like we're doing, that's what we're going to end up doing. And we'll have on Toby Cook, once again, live from Seattle. We'll have on Rob from CoinOp.tv. And a buddy of mine who works over at the radio station here, Marvin John, who does the Redshift program here on Brooklyn College Radio, which will soon be a podcast as well once he gets his setup up and running. He'll be joining me then as well. So you will have Geek Speaks the next 2 weeks. After that, you might go a week without me, but I'm sure you can live with that. But I will keep you updated on that as the time goes on. And this is all, of course, all has to do with whether or not there's a transit strike here in New York, which there very well might be as of tomorrow. So I might have to change my mind on this as things go on, but nevertheless, you're hearing Geek Speak today, and that's what matters. And I have an absolutely packed show for you today on episode 13. A lot of news coming out, a lot of sort of odd and scary and makes me want to curl up in the fetal position news. A New Jersey college student newspaper advisor ousted for using Apple Macintoshes at his college newspaper because it, quote-unquote, was not preparing him for the real world. And I'm definitely going to have to get into that because that's absolutely insane there. Also, a story coming out that's close to home for me. I'm sure most of you guys have probably heard about this already. Those of you who frequent Dig.com and Slashdot, it's been all over the place. All about the abusive camera store, Price Right Photo, which went after this guy who happened to post photos of the areas on the net, and he actually posted a picture of the very, very shady Price Right Photo. His name is Don Weiss, or Weiss. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce that. And he was threatened that if he doesn't leave the country, he will be killed. I seriously wish I was making this up, but I am not. And I'm definitely going to get into that, and I will actually hopefully be able to play a voicemail that was left on this guy's answering machine, which is absolutely insane, and I'll get into that as well. And superheroes banned from a preschool because apparently it was making the kids rowdy. And to say the least, I have my 2 cents to talk about on that. And I'm also going to get into an anime review today of Peacemaker Kurigame, which is a nice comedy, more like an action comedy, that's set in ancient Japan, and I will get into that on today's show. But I have to start things off with the story that I found out of Mac Daily News, and this is pretty recent. Just found out about it on Wednesday, and here is the news story. New Jersey college student newspaper advisor ousted for using Apple Macs. Despite impassioned pleas from her supporters, the Ocean County College Board of Trustees voted unanimously Monday not to reappoint Karen L. Bosley as faculty advisor to the student newspaper, a post she had held for 35 years. 35 years and just kicked off just like that. That's absolutely insane. Are you committed to free speech and free expression on the campus? William Knose, a associate professor of English supporting Bosley, asked the trustees following the votes because there seemed to be an element of retaliation in this decision. Knose and other teachers and students charged that Bosley's termination at the Viking News was in response to the newspaper's periodic criticism of college president John H. Larson and his administration's policies. The administration flatly denied the accusation. Joseph Picard reports for the Asbury Park Press. Bosley, a tenured humanities professor, will continue to teach, although she has also been reassigned from teaching journalism classes. And here's the big one. Bosley rebutted the two reasons she was giving for not being renewed as newspaper advisor, that the paper contains too many errors, and that the student staff, because they use Macintosh computers, are not being prepared for the real world. Are you kidding me? That is the most outlandish claim I have ever heard anybody make. And trust me, I've heard them all. To say that using Macintosh computers does not make you ready for the real world is like saying that if you brush your teeth with Colgate toothpaste, you're not going to get the same care that you'll get with Crest. Which is crazy, because they're just two different brands. And that's exactly what Macintosh and Windows are. Two different brands. In many ways, Macintosh is superior to Windows. Windows computers, hell of a lot of bugs. Hell of a lot of security holes. Macintosh? You barely even need a virus scanner on Macintosh computers. They're just that secure. Honestly, there's like two or three viruses out there for the Mac. And there have been for a long time now. That's it, just two or three. Because it's very hard to break the code of a Macintosh computer. Also, in a lot of journalism places, this is fact here. A lot of journalism places, a lot of newspapers, use Macintosh computers because they're easier to use, because they're safer, and because the learning curve is much, much easier to climb. But apparently, according to these guys, Macintosh computers do not make you prepare for the real world. Now, I know there's a lot of viruses in the real world. I know that if you're not careful, you can get one. Is that what they're sort of telling you here? That using Windows computers is like unprotected sex? That you should get yourself ready just in case a virus hits you or something like that? That's makes no sense. And this entire decision makes absolutely no sense. Mac Daily News' take on this is pretty interesting. Macintoshes dominate newsrooms around the world, as I've said, appropriately so, since Apple brought desktop publishing to the world with the Mac. To not use a Mac for a student newspaper would be a fine example of not preparing your students for the real world. But you don't teach platforms, you teach concepts. Platforms change too rapidly, recent Windows excepted. Schools should use Macs, since they're easier to maintain, virus-free, and just plain better quality hardware and software overall. Students will be as okay as they can be with whatever Mac operating system Apple comes out with, as they would be with a Microsoft operating system. It'll still be a disappointing step down to learn on Macs and be stuck with Windows in a cubicle, but they'll know how to use a computer when it's working just fine. That's the point, right? And that is the point. Sure, there might be some things different about a Mac, but also this day and age, pretty much all of the programs that you're going to find on a Windows computer, you'll find on a Macintosh. Microsoft Word, Macintosh. Windows Explorer, Microsoft Explorer, that is. Internet Explorer, Macintosh. Not that I would recommend it, but at least it's safer on a window, on a Macintosh machine than it is on the Windows machine, because, dear God, security holes galore. Although I'd still recommend using Firefox, or Opera even, or Safari even, but I digress. Ooh, 2 weeks in a row, I digress. There is no point in stopping somebody from using a Macintosh computer unless you just want them out of the department. And this is what it seemed like here. But that excuse is Bush League. That excuse proves that you're grasping at straws. If you want to fire somebody, if you want them off the department, just say so. Say that they're not doing their job effectively. And, I mean, the first thing they said, the paper contains too many errors. Now, I don't go to this college, so I wouldn't be able to say whether this actually occurs or not. This is the Ocean County College Board. And to say the least, I'm not from Ocean County, and I don't go there. I go to Brooklyn College. So if anybody out there who's listening to this right now goes to the same college that this person teaches at, give me a buzz. I'm really curious to see what you guys think of the newspaper there and what you guys think of this decision that Macintosh computers do not prepare you for the real world. Ask the New York Times, honestly. Ask the New York Times. Ask the BBC. Ask anybody out there. Ask the Washington Post. Ask any newspaper out there what you use. They might use Microsoft. They might use Windows. But then ask them, is the learning curve good enough to switch from one to the other? And they'll say, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, it takes a couple weeks, but then you learn it. As long as you know how to type, you're fine. As long as you know how to use the internet, you're fine. And guess what? On a Macintosh computer, using the internet is the exact same way as using it on a Windows machine. Very little differences there. A lot of the games even are the same on Macintosh as they are on Windows now. In fact, you know what? You know what the major difference is? You know that little Windows icon you got on your keyboard there that opens up the start menu? It's called an Apple key on a Macintosh computer. That's it. That's the only difference. Instead of doing Control-A to highlight some text, Command-A will do it on a Macintosh computer. It's just using a few different keys and learning a few different things about an operating system. It's not going to make any difference on how you are raised. It's not going to make any difference on how you survive out there in the real world. But apparently, Ocean County College President John H. Larson has something different to say about it. I can't stop from thinking this, but I can certainly disagree with it, and I do. And I really think I'm not alone here, as I'm sure most of you folks would agree, because I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening to the show are Macintosh users. It's just better. I'm sorry. I've said this in the past. I can't wait to get an iBook. Hopefully for graduation, I'll be getting myself an iBook. But it makes no difference on whether you're a success or not. Brains do. And apparently, the president of this college is lacking a few. So in the past here on Geek Speak, I've warned you about fraud on the internet. You know, obviously last week I got into the whole Xbox 360 thing about Xboxes being sold on eBay, only they weren't Xbox 360s, they were Xbox 360 boxes, and people still spending $600 or so on them, which is absolutely sad and somewhat disturbing, but you know, what are you going to do? People are not exactly smart, but what are you going to do there? Now, there's a man, goes by the name of Don Wiss, or Wiss, not quite sure how you pronounce his name, is W-I-S-S, who in the past has gone around trying to collect a nice little list of stores around the Brooklyn area that are shady in selling electronics, in selling photo supplies, mostly photo supplies. But there's a couple that also do electronics and stuff like that. In fact, actually, one of the stores on his list is literally right around the corner from my house. Abe's of Maine Cameras. I walk by this every single day. Right on Coney Island Avenue, right near my house. I've been passing it for years. In fact, two headphones ago, I got my headphones over there at Abe's of Maine. You know, they weren't too bad, but their online store is another story. When you go to abesofmaine.com, or when you go to abeselectronicscenter.com, or when you go to familyphotoandvideo.com, or when you go to camerasandelectronics.com, you're going to get a different story. You're going to get a whole lot of hassle. That's why at stores like this, I usually don't buy any of the big stuff. I just go for the small stuff, like headphones for a Walkman. I'm not going to buy a brand new camera there, especially not over the internet, because then you got to wait for it to ship. And I've looked into the reviews of Abe's of Maine online, and I found that Abe's of Maine is not exactly good with their shipping. They'll say that they're shipping something, and they'll charge you for it before it actually ships, and then, oh, and then, things go to hell. You're waiting for it, it doesn't come. You call them, they say, oh, it's on its way. You wait for it some more, it doesn't come. And then you got to worry about disputing it with the credit card company until finally you get your charge revoked. Well, just like Abe's of Maine, there was another one out there called Price Right Photo. And it was this was a major story. It was all over Dig. It was all over Slashdot. It was all over the internet, period, about an abusive New York camera store threatening to break a customer's neck. Now, the link I have here is to thomashawk.com, which is the blog for Thomas Hawk's Digital Connection. And here's a little bit about that story, which he had here. Precision Computing. Customer service at Wawa Digital. I'm going to break your neck. You better not pick up, bitch. I'm going to come down there and break your goddamn neck. You heard me, all right? Kid, you never better hear me, bitch. Did you hear me, bitch? Yes, you better believe it. You're in big trouble, my friend. This was the voicemail reportedly left on a customer's voicemail after he refused to buy overpriced accessories and instead wanted to cancel his order when he was abused by a salesperson at Wawa Digital in Brooklyn, New York. Of all of the horror stories that I heard from others who had similarly bad experiences to my own recent run-in with Price Right Photo, this one takes the cake. Hey, at least I was only threatened with a lawsuit and arrest by Price Right Photo camera store manager slash attorney Steve Phillips, which is actually not his name, which is really interesting. Lee Holmes, a blogger who works for Microsoft, was at work a few weeks back when a coworker of his was allegedly threatened by this sleazy Brooklyn camera outfit, Wawa Digital. This is from Lee's blog now. Somebody I work with recently tried to buy a camera from an internet retailer called Wawa Digital. He was telling me about the low price they had it listed for when the guy called him to confirm the order. At this point, I recognized what was going on. For some reason, there is an entire cottage industry in the little cottage that is called Brooklyn, New York, not exactly a little cottage, that sells the camera for below cost but cancels the order on you unless you buy hundreds of dollars of overpriced accessories. That's extortion right there. As the phone call progresses, it's like watching a really cheesy horror film play out. It's bad but funny in its predictability. No thanks, I have all of the storage cards I need. Mumble, mumble on the other end of a cell phone, mumble. The batteries only last for two pictures, do they? No thanks, I have all the batteries I need. Mumble, mumble, don't be sad. Don't be so damn cheap, mumble, mumble. At this point, he's walking into my office with the expression on his face of, you wouldn't believe the phone call I'm on right now. I can pretty much hear both sides of the conversation now, and the next thing I was expecting to hear was that the order was canceled. Instead, it continues, don't be cheap. Listen, that is ridiculous. Customer service. Cancel my order and goodbye. Cancel your order? You really want to pay the 30% restocking fee for canceling your order? Okay, right there. That's amazing. Because there cannot be a restocking fee for something that was never purchased. That's called putting something back on the shelf. That's not called restocking. It's amazing. And the guy was pretty much out of shock. What restocking fee? There's no order and you're not going to charge me one. Oh, yes, I will. Go ahead and I'll dispute the charges on my card and I'll cost you even more. Then my jaw literally drops as I scramble to help him record the phone call. Don't you even dare. You do that, I'll break your neck. You hear me? I'll come there and break your ing neck. I'll goodbye. And he hangs up. Absolutely amazing. Price Right Photo and Wawa Digital all have abysmal records with the New York BBB, who rates their record as unsatisfactory. And a lot of these companies are actually owned by the same people, which is even worse. It's just a whole bunch of companies that are just linked. That's it. But here's even worse. A death threat was then left on this guy's home answering machine. And here it is.
You're not going to believe this.
6277192 received at 3:22 p.m.
You better not pick up, bitch. I'm going to come down there and break your goddamn leg. You hear me, right? Dude, you better hear me, bitch. Do you hear me, bitch? Yes, you better believe it.
Outstanding. How things like this can actually be caught by technology. They use technology against those who would like to purchase it, and then the guys come back and they either block it or they catch them in the act. And I think catching them in the act is sweet. But this guy got a death threat. Okay? This guy was told to leave the country or he would be killed. That is mafioso right there. That's nothing else, really. You can't call it anything else. It's extortion, it's mafia tactics, and it's just wrong. And it's happening right here in Brooklyn, New York. Be wary, folks. Be really wary. If you find a deal that is too good to be true online, chances are it is. If you find a photo, if you find a camera online that you just cannot wait to buy, wait a little longer. Go on to Amazon. Go on to J&R Music World, which is now music and electronics. Go on to any of the big names, or go on to at least some sort of seller that you can trust, because these guys are working. These guys are waiting to get you. And you seriously do not want to get bit by these type of people. I certainly don't. And if the time ever came that one of these guys got after me, I would certainly blog about it. I mean, the fact that these guys went after these guys after they posted online how much they had a terrible experience, after they blogged about how terrible they were, and Price Right Photos store looks like the basement of an apartment building. Honestly, like, I'll link you to the picture in the show notes. This looks like a freaking boiler room. This is not a camera place. But it is. Look out, folks. Because I do not want any of my listeners to be the next victims here. I seriously do not. Because if it were any of you guys, I'd hate to hear about it. Be careful. Because like I said, when a deal is too good to be true, guess what? It probably is. Watch your back, guys. Watch your back. So anybody who listens to the show knows that I'm an enormous comic fan, and have been for some time. Ever since elementary school, really. Possibly even before that. I was always interested in it. I first really collected starting in junior high. But before then, I definitely had an interest. And now, I find a news story straight out of SupermanHomepage.com, which is also one of the best Superman websites out there. So any of you who are fans of the Man of Steel, you definitely got to check this site out. Got a bunch of great stories on there. Even has an interview with Richard Donner, I believe, who did the first Superman movie and did some of the second Superman movie before being fired. And there's also rumors coming out that they're going to release his original vision of the Superman movie. But that's a story for another time. Right now, I got to talk about this. And this was found in Australia's Daily Telegraph newspaper on December 12th, which is only 3 days ago. And here is the story, as documented by SupermanHomepage.com. Superheroes, such as Spider-Man and Superman, are being banned from preschools because they make the children more rowdy. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Because they make the children more rowdy. I wish I was making this stuff up, folks. I really, really wish I was. A preschool near Newcastle, NSW, recently wrote to parents warning them that superhero merchandise such as capes, costumes, toys, and bags would be banned from the school beginning in January. But the gentler brand of movie stars like Shrek, Finding Nemo, and Sesame Street characters such as Elmo are still acceptable at the Raymond Terrace Early Education Center. What a shock there. That's discrimination, folks. Discrimination at its worst and its most evil, in my opinion. The decision was made by center directors, including a board made up of parents and staff, after they noticed a group of children was playing roughly with superhero toys. Center director Jenny Witten said the ban was part of several changes the center had made to its play program. "We've been having some problems with a small group of children. Their behavior was getting a little bit rough, so we made some changes to our room, which included banning superheroes. We thought it was one of the problems because almost all of the children who seemed to be involved in the rough play were into Spider-Man and Batman and the Ninja Turtles. They were hitting each other and that sort of thing." Mother of two and Center Committee President Tamara Peters said superhero toys were better at home. "I can control these two at home, but when you've got 10 to 15 of them running around pretending to be Superman, it makes it a lot more difficult." Parent Mick Lee, whose son Ethan and son Jonah, who are 3 and 2, attend the Raymond Terrace Center, also supporting the ban. "Ethan is a Spider-Man fan, and Jonah loves his Buzz Lightyear, but Mr. Lee said they didn't need to have them at preschool. It's definitely rougher when they play superheroes. They wrestle and do all that sort of stuff," Mr. Lee said. "It's not about banning superheroes for the sake of it. It's about trying to manage their behavior." So there's people out there who think that getting rid of the toys is actually going to stop kids from pretending that they're superheroes. Oh my dear God, you're kidding me. All right, you do know that children of that age have some of the best imaginations out of anybody on this planet. They can pretend to be absolutely anything at any point. And they can do it pretty effectively. And they will continue to do it if they like it. Whether they have the toys or whether they don't. So these kids who like Superman, who like Batman, who like Wolverine, who like Buzz Lightyear, who like that sort of stuff, will continue to emulate these kitty icons, whether they have the toys or not. But these parents are blind to that. Taking away toys from a toddler, okay, from a preschool kid, it's just cruel. Honestly, they don't know any better. They really don't. They like toys. They like playing with toys. If you take the toy away, they cry. They continue to cry. They cry. They cry some more. Then they cry some more. Until they get the toy back, then they're happy. Now, I would think it would be more of an annoyance to the teacher that the crying was going on than letting a kid have some fun. Now, I know I'm probably looking at this a little biased, but pretty much everybody who responded to this story on SupermanHomepage.com had pretty similar ideas. And everybody's complaining about everything these days, you know? Everybody's trying to put a finger on every little piece of the human psyche these days. Like, oh, this happens because of this, and if we get rid of that, then it won't happen anymore. Or, oh, we need to add some more of this to this person so that they'll be a better person, or else they'll go around and become serial rapists when they're the age of 23. Yeah, right, sure. That's really gonna happen, folks. Selectively letting kids only have certain types of toys does not make them a better person. It makes them a frustrated preschool kid, sure, but it doesn't make them a better person. Because they're still going to like what they like, and I can't stress that enough. The old adage is boys will be boys. If you don't let boys be boys, what will they be? And no, I'm not saying that they're going to be women, because that'd be crazy. But each kid has their own individuality, okay? If a little kid likes playing with Barbies, let him play with Barbies. No problem with that. If a little kid likes dressing up in tutus, let him do that. They'll grow out of it, or they won't. That's life, folks. If a little girl... In fact, actually, I'd love to find this out. What if a little girl liked Superman and Spider-Man and Batman and the Ninja Turtles and was playing around with the little boys that were doing it? Would they look at her any different? Would they think, oh, she's got to be a tomboy because she's playing with these type of toys? Why would she want to play with any of these types of toys? It's absolutely insane. It's not absolutely insane. Once again, it's part of finding your own individuality. I somehow have a feeling that Lana Taylor of I Read Comics is pretty well adjusted. She likes comics. I'm sure when she was a kid, she played with some superhero toys and read some comics, but it didn't really mess her up too much. I'm sure when Brian Deemer or Peter Rios was a kid, they loved dressing up like their favorite superhero and had fun with it. And that's all part of the fun of preschool. Sure, you're teaching the kids, but preschool's also about having a place where you can just relax and hang out with some cool kids that you like and just have fun. That's a preschool atmosphere to me. It really is. If you take away the toys, it's not preschool anymore. It's like baby prison. And again, I know I'm being pretty severe about this, but that's basically the way I'm feeling right now. It's all part of being a kid. Like I said, boys will be boys. Girls will be girls. Let them be what they want to be. There's no reason to stop any of this from happening. But some parents will just never learn. Some teachers will just never learn. And they'll continue to look for the reason behind why a kid is this specific way, as opposed to possibly trying to fix the problem through education or something like that. Because, no, it's you got to blame the toys, obviously. It's all the toys' fault. Can't possibly be my fault. Oh, no. Never. God. Grown-ups are such stiffs sometimes, you know? Well, you know what that anime music must mean. It's time for an anime review. Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? Well, I haven't really been watching too much anime lately, honestly. I mean, I've been watching more of the series that I already have talked about on the show, but recently in my anime club here at Brooklyn College, which I am the president of, nice little plug there, we got to watching Peacemaker, otherwise known as Peacemaker Koregame, which is what I know it as, but here in America, they like to call it just Peacemaker. And here's the plot summary, and all of this is thank you very much from AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Tetsunome Ichimura has always been upset about his short stature. After he sees his parents being murdered by a Chushu assassin right in front of him, he vows with all his heart to become strong enough to take revenge on the killer. Ha 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 ha. It is now 1864, the first year of Genji. Tetsunosuke, now 15, heads to the headquarters of the Shinsengumi with his older brother, Tetsunosuke. Okay, they have the same name. Oh, it's Tetsunosuke and Tatsunosuke. That's interesting. Tet for tat. There you go. Looking to join the historical group to fulfill his dreams of getting stronger. Little does he realize what he is about to experience by doing so, for in order to join this army, one must forego his humanity and become a demon. Well, it sounds much more serious than it actually is. Because in reality, not exactly too much on the serious side. Not that that's a problem, mind you, but it's pretty laid back, which I think is actually a good thing. It's a comedy, basically. A whole lot of gay jokes in it, but that's to be expected in a mostly guy anime. Whole bunch of Bishonens running around for all you fans of the Bishies. Bishy badasses, ooh. And it's fun, you know? I haven't watched a straight-up fun anime in a while. I mean, mind you, the lead character's voice can be a bit annoying at times, but he's a kid, so you can expect that. And the copy that I've been watching in Club, not exactly the best subtitled version of anything I've seen before, because it's a bootleg. Yeah, I have to admit that. Well, it's not mine, at least. A friend of the Club's gave us his collection of episodes. There's 24 episodes in the series, and he gave it to us to watch. And it's been pretty good in spots, but every now and then they screw up on a word here and there and then. But, you know, that's going to happen. But still, it's got a whole bunch of swords, whole bunch of swordplay, whole bunch of blood and violence, even a little bit of nudity. Ooh. The age rating is teenagers, so not too much nudity. And I haven't really come across that yet. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, it's fun. There's a whole lot of action, a whole lot of adventure, and a whole lot of comedy all stuck into there. Now, the one thing that I think they could work on a little better here, I've seen these characters before. Maybe not in this particular anime, but I've seen these character designs before. They really need some more originality with the character designs, but can't really blame that on them, because this is based on a manga, so they're basically just taking the characters from the original manga. And like I said, not exactly the most creative thing in the world, but still fun. And I like things that are based in the past too. Like, I'm loving Samurai Champloo, which I've talked about on the show before, and at times this does have somewhat of a similar style to Champloo. At times, I mean, it's a very different anime, but you can sort of compare it to that in some ways. Obviously, this came first. This ran from 2003 until March 2004. So it began in October 2003 and ended in March 2004 in Japan. And like I said, it's 24 episodes long, so it is a bit of an investment. But it's not too much of an investment where you wouldn't be able to sit down and watch it. It's not like Inuyasha, which, by the way, I can't stand, but that's my personal preference. Not like a 100-episode series where you gotta watch every single one of those. Nah, it's, you know, 24 episodes. Give yourself a couple of weeks and you'll get done. But I would certainly say it's worth the recommendation. I would certainly say it's worth checking out. And from what I know, it's not aired here in the U.S. It has been released in the U.S., but it has never actually made it onto TV. Oh, wait, actually, you know what? My mistake. As of September, Showtime Beyond, on Sunday nights at midnight, started showing Peacemaker on the air. So I guess you can say that it's at least been on the air then, but, you know. It's Showtime, though. It's Showtime Beyond, so not a lot of places actually have Showtime Beyond. If you're a regular subscriber to a cable company, you don't have it. Which is why it's actually worth showing in my club, because I have one rule at the anime club. And this has actually been a long-standing rule long before since I was president. If it's made at the Cartoon Network, it's not worth showing. I'm not saying that Cartoon Network anime is bad, because that's far from the case. For most of them, at least. They do show a stinker every now and then, but everybody does. But If it's been on Cartoon Network, pretty much everybody has had a chance to see it. That means wide release. And wide release is something I like to avoid. I like the simpler things in life. I like the things that are harder to find. If it's only been on Showtime or if it's only been on G4, which I know that a lot of fans of my show actually, you know, watch G4. And by the way, you will hear about G4 next episode because, ooh, boy, have they made some changes. And yeah, it's not even a network worth watching anymore. Not that it was to begin with. But it's harder to find, and that's why I think Peacemaker is certainly worth it. I will give Peacemaker 3.5 out of 5. You know, it does have some dull moments here and there, but it's certainly a lot of fun and certainly worth picking up if you can. So, find some peace in Peacemaker. I did. I'm sure you probably could too. Ooh, that was nice and somber there. Very laid back and relaxing. Ooh, I feel like I'm just going through a gentle stream right now. So, on last week's show, I talked about a nice first. I talked about the first video game ever made. And, well, here's another first for you. I have here, straight from a URL which I am never going to repeat, ever. Because, oh my dear God, is this the longest URL ever? And they know that. It's www.thelongestlistofthelongeststuffatthelongestdomainnameatlonglast.com. Whew! Wow. That is long. Certainly creative, but also really, really hard to say. Well, they have a listing for the world's first eBay item ever sold. Let me get more of an announcer's voice going here. The world's first eBay item ever sold. Sold, 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 sold. Thank you very much. Here is that article. What was the world's first eBay item ever sold? Would you believe eBay turned 10 in 2005? It's true. Oh, it's true. eBay was created in September 1995 by Pierre Omidyar, originally called Auction Web. Wow, thank God they changed the name, Auction Web. Could you imagine going to auctionweb.com every single time you went onto an auction site? Yeah, I don't think so. The name eBay comes from the domain Pierre used for his site. The company name was EcoBay, and the eBay Auction Web was originally just one part of EcoBay's website at ebay.com. Now, for the first item ever sold on eBay, well, it was Pierre's. He managed to sell his broken laser pointer for $14. Yeah, whoa! Nothing but good used broken goods sold on eBay. Oh yeah, you gotta love that. In 1997, Pierre changed the company name to eBay. In this year, eBay also sold its millionth item, a toy version of Big Bird, from Sesame Street. Aw, how cute. And here's another bit of trivia. Pierre has a blog, but it hasn't been updated since 2004. Okay. So, talk about interesting. You know, to this day, everybody always sells, like, you know, broken items or haunted items or boxes on eBay to try and fool people. Their own creator sold his broken laser pointer for $14. Now, I'm sure people out there probably had a chance to fix it, and I'd like to find the first person to actually buy anything. I wonder if he actually got it working again, but obviously Pierre did not have the time or the patience to sit down and get the thing working again. But still, I thank you, Mr. Pierre Omidyar, or Omidyar. I think that's how you would pronounce it. See, I suck at pronouncing names, especially ones that have no pronunciation key, because, oh my God, is that up for grabs or what? Yeah. Pierre, if not for you, there would not be people selling their Xbox boxes online. And I'm still not over that, folks. I'm still not over that. I won't be over that for some time. You can expect me to continue talking about it for a long time. Because it makes me giggle. It should make you giggle, too. But, yeah. First dude to sell anything on eBay, it was broken goods. Beginning a legacy of broken goods on eBay. And, you know, just think, where would you be today without eBay? You know? You'd be at a store. Where would you be without Amazon? You'd really be at a store then. Oh, my God. Without online shopping, people would have a lot more walking involved. And a lot more miles on their car, too. Credit cards probably have more mileage now than they've ever had. Because you go online, you pack out that credit card, and you go onto eBay and you buy yourself something. You used to have to go to flea markets to find things. You used to have to go to actual real-life auctions to find things. But now, life has just gotten easier. And eBay is one of those things that have made it easier. I thank you, eBay, for giving me lots of stuff. Like, I just got online, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the band Trip Shakespeare, but I just got one of their albums off of eBay. Let's see, I just got the two Parasite Eve games on eBay for my girlfriend for Christmas. And what else was there? Something else recently. Oh, and an issue of, the first issue of Marvel Zombie number 1 by Robert Kirkman, because my local place didn't seem to have it. So I went on eBay and bought it for 99 cents. Without eBay, I'd have to actually go looking for things. And God, that wouldn't be fun now, would it? It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak, where I switch the talk over from the geek side of things over to the sports side of things. And today, I have to start it out with those terrible, terrible, terrible New York Knickerbockers. You know, every single game that the Knicks play, they make me want to weep even more. They now have 6 wins on the year. I believe 14 losses. Now, I expected bad out of the Knicks, but this bad? Just, no. God, no. It hurts my brain, guys. Seriously. I mean, the Knicks should be a contender right now. Pretty much everybody picked them to be one at the beginning of the year, but I think that was mostly Larry Brown's fault and not the actual talent on the team, because they seem to be pretty much devoid of talent at this point. Every single time Stephon Marbury goes on the court, he proves more and more why he will never be a leader. The Knicks need a leader. I was hoping it was going to be Larry Brown, but, well, hasn't really been doing a good job so far. And now, Ron Artest is on the market. Because Ron Artest doesn't want to play where he's playing right now. He thinks it's time to move on from the Pacers. And he wants it to be known that he wants to get out. Why have the Knicks not given an offer to Ron Artest yet? Seriously. With a guy like Ron Artest on your team, sure, he's a little out there and not exactly sane, but we got the choker on the team once upon a time. Latrell Sprewell is on the team. Okay, so you can't tell me that you're not going to get him because of his past. Because Latrell Sprewell choked his coach, for God's sakes. I think that pretty much says that the dude did not deserve to still be in sports, and yet there he was. The Knicks have to make this move. For their sakes, and for the sake of every single Knicks fan out there, we need something to rally around. We need something to cheer about. So far this season, we haven't had it. I don't think we're going to have it anytime soon. And Knicks fans are running out of patience, and they're running out of it fast. And another group of fans that are running out of patience are the New York Yankee fans, who seem to be looking around for a new center fielder and just cannot find one. Now, the newest rumor to come out of baseball. Two of the newest rumors. Joe Torre had discussions with both Nomar Garcia-Para and Johnny Damon about possibly playing for the New York Yankees this upcoming season. Now, obviously, Nomar Garcia-Para, he was talking to him not in the capacity of a center fielder, although I think he could probably make the transition, but in the capacity of a first baseman who he's never... That's a position he's never played before. Okay, what is the point there? And Jason Giambi has played his best ball when playing first base for the Yankees. You put him back in DH, I think there goes any of the progress Jason Giambi made. The fact that he was actually playing better defense at the end of last season doesn't seem to mean anything to the Yankees, because obviously they're talking to Nomar. Nothing's official yet. But also, it would be really interesting to find him on the team, because then they'd have three out of the four of what were going to be the next generation of shortstops on the team, and only one of them playing shortstop. Now, how about that? That's crazy right there. As for Johnny Damon, I don't want him. No way. Way too much baggage. Way too little talent for me. And he wants a 7-year deal. Now, if you saddle yourself down for Johnny Damon 7 years, you are going to crazy town. And I do not mean the old band that had that one-hit wonder back in the 90s. I mean, you're nuts. Okay, because he does not have 7 years left back in him. He certainly does not. If you make that move, George Steinbrenner, I know you got money, but you really don't have to prove it all the time. Just stick with Bubba Crosby. All right, if he doesn't work, by the time the All-Star break comes around, make a move. Maybe you can get a Griffey or somebody like that. Just give it some time, all right? Give it some patience. I know it's hard to think that, but the Yankees need patience, and the Knicks need to move now. It's funny how things work, isn't it? That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every single Monday, beginning in January, as we have a nice little break here for the Sporting Goods, beginning in January, the Sporting Goods will be moving to 3 o'clock, here on Brooklyn College Radio, from its original 2 o'clock spot. It'll be on from 3 to 4 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And I will hopefully be joined by all the regulars, Jason Green, Joey Maggs, and David, and myself, of course, on the Sporting Goods. And I hope to join you guys then. And we might actually be on this upcoming Tuesday from 2 to 3 in the regular spot, but it all depends on when I get out of my final. Or if I even have a final. Oh, God, transit strike. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. We do have forums, although I think they're dead, as the only ones who have posted it are myself and my girlfriend in about four different names. She's silly like that. But the forums are located at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. And, of course, you can vote for me at Podcast Alley, and a link for that is on the website. So, I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up here today on GeekSpeak. Once again, the program reminder, this upcoming Thursday, GeekSpeak will not be live. It will be recorded, as I will probably be out of town on my way over to Massachusetts, but I am recording two episodes on Wednesday. You will get one GeekSpeak a week. That's hard to say. One Geek Speak a week. You'll get episode 14 at the beginning of next week. And that'll be on Thursday, that is. Not the beginning of next week, but you'll have it on Thursday as promised. And you will have episode 15, which will be the showcase spotlight on retro gaming the week after. So I will speak to you guys then. And until then, this is Ian Levinstein telling you to have a great week. And while you're at it, enjoy your geek. You might as well. Take care, everybody. I'll see you next week. Yeah. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody. We're into Spider-Man and Batman and the Ninja. And in 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 the Ninja.